On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Kiedler. Thank you for joining us today for a discussion of the recent Democratic estate tax proposals. Joining me today is our special guest, Attorney Steve Oceans from Las Vegas, Nevada. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me here. It's nice to be here today.
Steve, I understand there are really five issues we have to look at, and one would be the $5 million exemption going perhaps to $3.5 million on January 1st, 2012, 4 months from now. Secondly, a change in how grants work for estate tax purposes as far as maybe a 10% remainder, we're not sure on that, plus no more short-term grants, the loss of dynasty trusts, a change in valuation adjustments and interfamily transactions, and finally, income tax consistency. Steve, let's take those one at a time, beginning with the $5 million change to $3.5 million in 2012 and the change in the rate.
Sure, Bob. What's interesting in this recent Democratic proposal that has come out in the last 10 days is that if you look at the words carefully, it's not really clear whether they intended to have it come back to the 2001 levels or the 2009 levels. In 2013, what we're expecting to happen is that it comes back to the 2001 levels, which would be the $1 million exemption and a 55% estate tax rate. But if you look at the proposal, what they're talking about doing is having it revert back, and they say, to 2009 levels a year early. So it seems that it might have confused what levels it's reverting back to. So in other words, they're reverting it a year early, but not to the right spot. So based on the 2009 levels, it would be at a $3.5 million exemption and 45% estate tax rate. So if it comes back early, certainly we're going to have to get our clients to start funding their trusts now and take advantage of a lot of these opportunities before this might happen.
So, Steve, on this point, the moral of the story is we would want to make large gifts, burning up unified credit, and for perhaps for some of our wealthiest clients, they might even want to try to pay gift tax at 35%, which we all recognize is really a 26% effective rate, rather than waiting to pay estate tax at a higher rate.
That is correct. But given that we have the $5 million gift tax exemption in place right now, which is the greatest opportunity in the history of the tax system, we have this great opportunity to make gifts of $5 million and then make installment sales to that same trust that received the $5 million gift and sell up to $45 million, for example, as a comfortable debt equity result without having to pay a gift tax. So yes, that is absolutely correct that if we want to move more, we might think about a gift tax and paying a gift tax, but there's such a great opportunity right now to use the $5 million exemption into a dynasty type of trust and then leverage it as much as you can, and that'll take care of almost every one of our clients without a gift tax.
Steve, I know you do more grants than virtually anyone in the country. Tell me about the two possible changes here and why practitioners should be so concerned.
Sure. What the Democrats have suggested changing with the grants is to require a minimum 10-year term of years. And as you know, if the grantor does not survive that term of years, then some or all of the assets come back into the grantor's estate for estate tax purposes. So for the older clients, a 10-year period would mean that they might not be able to do a grat. For example, our clients who are in their 80s would have a lot of trouble believing that they're going to survive a 10-year period. So that's one of the proposed changes. The other proposed change to the grats would be to have some sort of a remainder interest. There'd have to be some kind of a taxable gift value. We can't have a zero grat. Now, they have not laid out a minimum number. That's certainly possible. At this point, based on what we've seen, that might just mean that you need to have a dollar as the gift tax value, for example. What is interesting, though, is that in this proposal, they did not put any language in there about requiring that there not be any decreasing annuity grants. That's fascinating because all of the other proposals preceding this over the last year or two have included that language. That gives us some opportunities that we thought that they were going to look to take away.
So let me make sure I understand. So if we have somebody that has a very large, large portfolio, stocks and bonds, and they wanted to, they should be looking at short-term grants now with low interest rates just to thread the needle before the law changes.
Yeah, they might look at a two-year grant, for example, where they can take care of the market volatility. And at this point, while we're doing this podcast, I don't think the stock market has ever historically been as volatile as it is. So the two-year grant looks very interesting because all you have to do is hit one good two-year period, and you've moved millions of dollars out of the client's estate with zero gift tax.
The other possibility, of course, Steve, is let's say I wanted to gift $50 million in a grant. At one point in time, there was a proposal out there for a 10% remainder. I know that we're not clear what this proposal would eventually be, but that's a pretty big motivation for somebody that's worth hundreds of, you know, $100+ million to do these grants now rather than wait.
Oh, absolutely. I have not seen anything recently about the 10% minimum value. People were talking about that just because that 10% figure has been found in other parts of the tax code. I don't know that that's going to happen because I haven't seen that put into any of these proposals. Certainly, that would cause us to not be able to do the extremely large grants. But just the fact that it could happen should be enough motivation for someone who's high net worth to hurry up and get this type of trust funded. I had one yesterday where the guy's 85 years old and he's worth $200 million, and I basically said, if you were my father, I would make you do this tomorrow.
No, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Steve, your firm's been a pioneer in the area of dynasty trust. You personally have been involved in getting the Nevada statutes changed to allow for a longer-term trust in Nevada. Help us out on what is Congress potentially going to do here, and what should be our reaction?
Well, one of the congressional proposals that we have seen recently, but we did not see in this last Democratic proposal, was to tax dynasty trusts every 90-year period. The fact that it was not in this proposal means that it looks like we're very safe at this point. I don't think that that's at the top of their list anyway, but certainly that's just one more reason to hurry and throw $5 million into a dynasty trust. Like I said, if it was my father or my mother, I would make them do it tomorrow because you never know when the day of reckoning is going to come and we're going to wake up and find out that Congress has signed something saying that there's a change in the law.
Now, Steve, one of the other changes we're concerned about is the change in valuation adjustments. We all realize that basically the standard for years has been willing buyer, willing seller, taking into account marketability, minority interest. And we also recognize that under Revenue Ruling 9312, basically a parent can gift securities in a closely held business or partnership to a child and take a discount on those tranches. What's Congress up to here, and what should we be concerned about?
They have been talking about curbing valuation discounts for a number of years. Certainly, that does not reflect the reality of a lot of these situations where there really should be a valuation discount, even though, as you know, a lot of us take advantage of situations where they really are interfamily transactions where the discount is sometimes taken advantage of, possibly more, arguably more than it should be. What they're talking about doing in this latest Democratic proposal is to curb the valuation discounts by creating a category of disregarded restrictions that are ignored for valuation purposes. So what that would do, in effect, is reduce the valuation discounts. I don't want to say significantly because, obviously, we don't know what they might put in there, but it might take away or should take away the advantages in going to a favorable state where you might get a larger discount or building in in some bells and whistles into your operating agreement or partnership agreement to artificially reduce the value of the transferred asset, and it might even make my favorite, the Nevada Restricted LLC and LP, a historical conversation, because we might lose that extra advantage that we get in Nevada over the other states.
Steve, lastly, there's this income tax consistency issue. I know that that's nothing we can really plan for, but just explain that kind of in layman's terms.
Sure. The IRS doesn't want the taxpayers to have it both ways. They want consistency in the estate tax value that is used with the valuation discount versus the income tax basis that is used going forward. So if you get a lower valuation for estate tax purposes to save estate taxes, then what they want to have happen, or what they have proposed to have happen, is to use that lower value for income tax basis purposes, so that ultimately when you have to pay the piper, you pay them with a larger capital gains tax for income tax purposes to reflect the lower basis. So they're saying you can't have it both ways.
Now, Steve, we've covered a lot of ground, but and many people will simply dismiss that these things will never happen. Why is it so important for us to deal with possibilities, not probabilities?
Great question. Because possibilities every so often turn into things that actually do happen. We don't know what day these things are going to happen and which of them are going to happen, but what we do know is that some things have to happen. As we all know, the United States has an increasing amount of debt, and they have to pay for it somehow. So what they have to do is come up with some ways to generate higher tax, and everything that's out there is on the table. So we don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to do something. So for any of our clients who are on the fence right now and think that they have a two-year window of opportunity to use the $5 million gift tax exemption, for example, let's get them going now. There's no reason to wait until next year when they might lose that opportunity, or there's no reason to wait and possibly lose the ability to leverage it with valuation discounts. There's no reason to wait for a grant when they could do it this year rather than next year or in 5 years. So everyone who's on the fence has to get it done now. If they're not on the fence and they don't think they need to do it, but you really think they should, then go to them and talk to them about some of the techniques where they have the ability to get some of it back, even though they're using their exemption now. There are plenty of techniques to do that. Obviously, that's a whole other conversation that we don't have time for today, of course.
Steve, this has been a very insightful analysis into the Democratic proposals. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Bob. It's been great to be here with you today.
On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler with our special guest, Steve Oceans,